Good morning and welcome everyone again. I'm going to do a, I want us to do a review of the room from yesterday. And I may say a few things about that again, because there was a problem with the replay. I'm not sure if anyone here tried to do the replay to that room. I want to hear your experience with the replay if you tried to do that from yesterday. But anyway, it was about, you know, thirsting after God. My soul thirsted for God was the topic from yesterday. And I'm going to just read through some scriptures quickly. Some of the same things we read yesterday. You know, it's hard to preach a message over, but we can always read the scriptures. I want to read through the scriptures again. Father, as always, I thank you because the entrance of your word gives light. And that word always shines in our heart when it comes in. And may it bring understanding as well. Let it illuminate our minds. Fire us up, you know, with the things of God. We pray that our hearts will be united to fear your name, to long after you, thirsting for God. And we thank you because you promised that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's read a few scriptures. We covered this already yesterday. We'll just make it like a review and we'll talk about it in a bit. Okay. So we started at Psalm 42 and verse 1. The psalmist was a man that always, always thirsted after God. And as the heart panteth after the water brooks, he said, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? You know, so right away you see someone who is thirsting after God. The thirst in his heart made his soul to yearn for God. You know, and that's the thing, that's the reminder of where we need to be, because what does it profit a man or anyone if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, we can run after this, pursue after that, and so forth. And if that takes away from our seeking the Lord, then we have done ourselves a great disservice for eternity. But our purpose, our focus, and our drive should be in seeking after the Lord. And here are some of the scriptures we read yesterday. Psalm 63. This is how, again, he said it. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where there is no water, to see thy power and thy glory, even as I have seen in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live, and I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. What is the thing that can satisfy the soul? It is the presence of the Lord. When God made man, he engineered it like that. He crafted us in a way that his spirit would fill our soul. And when that spirit is not there, when that soul is empty of this presence of God, then it is famished, and all kinds of things can set in, depression, and all kinds of things can set in, because it is missing the very essence of what God designed it to have, which is the very presence of God. When God breathes into man, the Spirit of God, caused him to become a living soul, that spirit was supposed to be uppermost in his life. The way that God, you know, designed the body, soul, and spirit, you know, spirit was number one. The soul always uniting with the spirit. The body would be way below. But the sin and disobedience in the world that came in reversed all of that. Now we see that our flesh is number one. And it looks like the bubble was busted. Flesh came out and now it's on top. And the spirit shrank. And when the soul cannot be in touch with the spirit, then it gets into all kinds of problems. The soul is depressed. The soul is famished. You know, and that's when we must reach out to God. We got to reach out to God for an overflowing again of his presence. The psalmist, he knew how to do it. And he said most of his prayers were about seeking after God. Psalm 84, he talked about how he loved, you know, they called it tabernacles back then. We call it the presence of God. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Can you say that of your soul? Is it your testimony that your heart and even your flesh cry out for the living God? You know, this is the essence of life. The very thing that we should be seeking after is the very presence of God, that he may satisfy our soul with the best of heaven. But only we must seek him. That's the way to do it. We cannot find him unless we seek him with all of our hearts. So we covered this already. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you know, you shall find me when you shall seek for me with all your heart. And this was the thing that the psalmist was always praying about. Always, you know, and he, not only did he love the presence of God, he also loved the word of God. You know, these two things walk hand in hand. Being in his presence, so listen to his word or read his word one-on-one, that's what brings life back into our soul. In the natural, if we go many days without eating, we begin to diminish in stature. You begin to emaciate and lose weight. You may become dehydrated even if you don't have nutrition or water or fluids. And you may eventually start to starve. Well, spiritually speaking, it's the same. Many people are starving of the presence of the Lord, the spiritual nutrients that we need, and we don't even know it. You know, so we go, it starts with a little slumber and a little folding of the arms. You know, if we, a little prayerlessness, a little lack of discernment of his presence, the next thing you know, you get so used to not even hearing from him anymore. And our souls don't even want any part of him anymore. And the things of God become strange. Wherefore he saith in Ephesians 5:14, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Something that started with sleep eventually turned into spiritual death. Sleeping first, and now he says awake from the dead, spiritually dead. So we need to quicken our souls. You know, that's what the lesson was all about. Jeremiah himself, he also loved the word of God. Let's see how the psalmist first loved it. We'll see how Jeremiah also loved it. Psalm 119, the whole, you know, the whole long psalm mostly talks about the word of God and how this man related to the word of God, how he loved that word, you know, and he couldn't, you know, he was like, couldn't have enough of it. My soul fainted for thy salvation. Psalm 119, verse 81. But I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word. You know, yeah, this is a man that's really hungering and thirsting after the things of God. You know, when it seems like the word of God is silent, a voice is silent, he cries out even more. He wants God more than anything else. And no wonder the Lord said, a man after my heart. You know, my eyes fail for thy word. When wilt thou comfort me? And he loved the word of God. When he heard the word, it rejoices his heart. I mean, listen to what he says in verse 162 of the same Psalm 119. I encourage everybody to read through this psalm, this particular one. Powerful stuff about the word of God. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I mean, this is this man, to him, the word of God was like discovering some treasure. That's how it was with him. He loved the word. Jeremiah himself also said in Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, pretty much the same things. These were people who, you know, who were fired up by the word of God, you know, and the word of God excited them. Thy words were found, Jeremiah said, and I did eat them, Jeremiah 15 and 16, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Jesus promised many things for those that will hunger and thirst after righteousness. He promised fulfillment. He promised the satisfying of the soul. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Many promises and many invitations likewise also, you know, for us to come into his presence seeking more of him. You know, he said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And we are told in Psalm 107 verse 9, I'm going through this very quickly because just a review of how the Lord led them through the wilderness, you know, talking about the history of the children of Israel, their journey out of Egypt and all of that, and how, you know, what God did for them in many dimensions. Psalm 107 verse 9, he satisfied the longing soul, filled the hungry soul with goodness, you know, and he died for them and he does it for everyone. Praise the Lord. And Isaiah chapter 55 verse 1 gives an invitation for us to come. He said, come ye that are thirsty, come to the waters. Hallelujah. If you're thirsty, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Well, you don't need, you know, the price because somebody already paid for it. Everything that comes from God comes with a price. You know, sometimes we say, well, it's free. Well, free to you, but somebody paid for it. Hallelujah. Jesus paid for it with his life. And he prayed for it with strong prayers, strong crying, until his sweat coming out of his forehead looked like blood, great sweat. Almost like drops of blood coming out of his forehead, praying for that pearl of great price. And he wanted every one of us, and he prayed for us. He went after that, and he got it. You know, so he comes with a price. Without, for us, it's free, it looks like, but it was paid for. You know, there's really nothing that is free. It's only free because Jesus already paid for it. And even though we don't need to pay physical money now, we still got to pay a price. The price is your commitment to detach yourself from the things of the world and seek His presence. Hallelujah. We must pay that price. And if we're not willing to do that, then we really can't find God. You know, because until we seek for Him diligently, Hebrews 11 and 6, God is a rewarder of them that diligently, not haphazardly seek Him, not here, you know, one day and not there the next day, but diligently, consistently seek Him. He's a rewarder of such people. Isaiah 44 and verse 3 says, the Lord, it's a powerful promise that God will pour waters upon him that is thirsty. If you're thirsty, the Lord has promised something for us. When we thirst after him, he promised floods upon even the dry ground. Water upon him that is thirsty. Isaiah 44 and 3. And I will even pour my spirit out upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. These are the powerful, powerful promises of God. And Jesus gave invitations throughout the book, you know, throughout the Bible, even to all the way to the book of Revelation. Revelation 21 and verse 6. You know, and he will close out even the book of Revelation with these invitations. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Are you thirsty? Then come unto him. Hallelujah. And again, he said in Revelation 22 and verse 17, throwing out yet another invitation. The spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Jesus promised something to the woman at the well. And he gave her, you know, in John chapter 4, he said, look, you can come and drink of this water, but whosoever drinketh of this well and this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I will give shall not thirst again, but it will be springing up inside of him unto eternal life. And this woman said, and the woman said, wow, what kind? Give me this water that I thirst no more, and I do not have to come here anymore to fetch water. Glory to God. There is a spring, you know, there is a spring of water that comes from his presence, the power of the Holy Spirit. He said it. Jesus also cried on that great day of the feast, and he said, you know, all that the Father has given me come to me and all that, and I will lose none of them. And he said, look, if you come unto me, I will no wise cast you out. And he promised something great too. You know, those that believe in me, he said, you know, something is going to happen to them. Something will be bubbling inside of them that is going to spring up like rivers of living water. Hallelujah. And it's actually the Holy Spirit inside of you. Glory to God. So this is a review of our lesson from yesterday. And as I said at the beginning, the replay, there was a sabotage on that replay. I don't know what happened because I went and tried to listen to it myself. I couldn't hear any part of my voice. I'm not sure if it was something that triggered, but I could hear other voices. Whenever I spoke, there was nothing there. And that tells you how important this thirsting for God is. For the devil to even try to erase that. I don't know still today what happened, but I want to hear later when we come into the review section here, if anyone did actually try to listen to that replay. So I just thought within myself that I'll come in here today and do a quick review in case anyone missed the room and they tried to go in there and couldn't hear, because I couldn't. I asked my wife to try. She couldn't hear it, and the replay was playing, but many segments of it were blank. I've covered these scriptures, most of the scriptures that we gave yesterday. And the bottom line for this lesson is, our hearts, there must be a hunger and a thirsting in our soul for the Lord. And he promised that he will satisfy that thirsty soul and he will feed the hungry soul. There is a bread of heaven. It's called the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the word of God so prophetic that he would even be born in Bethlehem, which is Bethel-hem, if you want to put it that way. Bethel-hem. The God's house of bread. Hallelujah. So the word of God goes with us being in his presence. When we come into his presence, be still and know that I am God. Very, very hard to know anything in his presence if we are not still. But we got to practice being still. That's a good thing for us to practice. Many of us can't do it. I tried the experiment once when I preached something like this in the church a few years ago. And I said, everybody will stand up for 10 minutes or something like that and just be quiet. It was impossible. I mean, you just try it. There will be all kinds of distractions. Distractions in your mind, distractions over this and that, thoughts here and there. Even religious thoughts will distract you from his presence, or try to distract you from his presence. But the presence of God is something that our soul needs. And it starts with a hunger and a thirst for his presence. My flesh longeth after thee, the psalmist said. In a dry place, I'm crying after God. Pour those waters upon me, like you said. Those are the things that we must be hungering about. The other day, 2 days ago or so, we talked about, how Mary chose to sit at his feet and just hear his word. Be still. I know. But when you're there and you soak in his presence, you gaze at him and you see him as he is. And you adore what you see in him. I say to us, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, what we see in him while we gaze upon him and what we adore in him, that's what we can become. Here's how it says it. 1 John 3, verses 1 and 2. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knew us not, even because they did not know him either. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. But it does not yet quite appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I mean, why is seeing him as he is going to make you be like him? When he shall appear, we shall see him as, he is. We know that. Why did he put, we shall be like him? For, that is, for means because. We shall be like him because, you know, we shall see him as he is. Well, the revelation to that verse is this. When he appears, don't think about the translation now, the rapture of the church. When you are in his presence and he reveals himself to you, when you see him, what you see in him, what you adore of him is what you can become. When you see his holiness and you adore that, then you can become that. When you see his glory and you adore that, then you can have that. Hallelujah. So when we see him, then we can be like him. For as he is, so are we in this world as well. You know, but first we must see him. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. The last part of the verse says, as he is, so are we in this world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. Just a quick review of yesterday's room because of the problems with the replay, just in case anybody missed it. I'm going to check after today's room to see what happens with the replay here. Well, hopefully that was a one-time thing, and we hope to not experience that again. We have been in this room now, by the grace of God, since we started this morning room. It's close to 177 or so days. We're getting close to 180 days, you know. And that's almost 6 months since we've been here for October 1st. And every one of those days, there was not a single problem with the replays. You know, not the kind of problem that happened yesterday. Now, that tells me that this thirsting and after God is probably the most needful message that every one of us needs to hear, because that's the very essence of our soul, or should be. And when that is lacking, we're just going around as dead corpses. You know, we are starved spiritually and we don't know it. But, you know, your body starts to react. You know, you start to feel heavy. You know, you start to, you know, suddenly your soul is disquieting. Your soul is depressed, you know, and all of that. Now you wonder what's going on. Well, that's because you need more of God. You know, this is what happens. We need more of God. And anytime we, you know, it's kind of like being hungry. If you don't eat for a long time, you start to be hungry. And you, enough of that passes, you start to actually starve, you know, so the same thing with the presence of God. If we don't soak that presence in on a daily basis, you know, something is going to be missing. So we need our souls to cry out to God every day. We yearn for him. And as we talked about in this room multiple times, that perpetual burning fire must be burning perpetually. We should not let that go out. We've read many times Leviticus 6, our theme scripture, you know, but let me quickly read to you a couple of other verses from elsewhere about the fire that should burn. You know, remember Leviticus 6, 12 and 13 was always our theme scripture from the beginning of this morning room. But here is Exodus chapter 27. And let me read just two verses, 20 and 21. And thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil, olive beating for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. Remember when we talked about the story of the five wise and five foolish virgins some of them that didn't have extra oil for the lamp? Well, bring the oil for the lamp. And there is also wood for the fire and oil for the lamp. So bring the oil for the lamp in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall order it from evening to morning. Remember, the evening and the morning were the first day. That's how the Lord counted days in the beginning. And it shall be a statute forever unto their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. Well, that was just a pattern of things. We don't need anybody on our behalf now. Christ, our high priest, is for us entered into the holy place, not made with hands, into heaven itself, you know, making intercession for us. That's our high priest. And we also are subordinate priests under him. So wood for the fire, oil for the lamp. Hallelujah. So also in the book of Exodus, chapter 30, let me also read a couple of verses there from verse 8. Hallelujah. And Aaron, when he lighted the lamps at even, that evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. But here's a warning. The Lord doesn't want any strange fire like Nadab and Abihu. Said, don't offer any strange incense, no burnt sacrifice, no meat offering, and all of this. I don't want any part of that, the Lord said. Aaron is the one that is commanded to make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year. The blood and the sin of atonement, sin offering for atonements. Once a year, it'll go in, and it'll be a perpetual thing. And so forth. But, we don't need that anymore. Year after year, we covered that when we did the study of the book of Hebrews. But I read this also only to show us the commandment of the Lord not to let that fire cease. And we must continue to cry out for his presence day after day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's the review from yesterday. I may have added one or two more things, but that's mostly it. And I will yield for our comments now. I actually also want to hear anyone's experience that may have tried to listen to the replay, which is the reason why I did this today, of the many blank spots in that replay. Well, let's hear your thoughts on thirsty for God and my soul thirsting after God. Let's hear your thoughts. Let's hear what the Lord is talking to you about and what we must do. How can you renew, that fire in your spirit when the Lord said, go back to your first love? We read that also yesterday when the Lord called out, the church of the Laodiceans, Ephesians, called them out in Revelation 2 verses 4 to 5. The church at Ephesus, he said, well, you've done a lot of great things, but you have lost your first love. And so we need to get back to that first love.